Hello, this is Anil Kumar and welcome to Back to the Bible radio broadcast. Today, as we continue Dr. John Neufeld's series, Life Lessons from David, the man who would be the king, we will discover an important principle of faith in a message entitled Refusing to Run Ahead of God. So let's go back to the Bible as we turn to our text in 1 Samuel chapter 23 verse 15 to chapter 24 verse 22.
During an especially trying time in the work of China Inland Mission, Hudson Taylor wrote these words to his wife. We have 25 cents and all the promises of God. You know, faith is a peculiar thing. It's easy to believe when your health is good and all men and women speak well of you and your bank account is full and you have no end of resources. But faith is trust in God. And faith is also exercised when all these other things fail. After all, I can't learn to trust God until God is all I have to trust in. But while faith is no more and no less than trust in God, faith also impacts our actions and our decision-making process. Faith waits on God, it relies on God, and is patient in God. Faith does not run ahead of God, but faith learns to be content in the timing of God, believing that God knows what's best, trusting that His wisdom is greater than ours. Today we will learn that faith needs time to mature. For those of us who long to live lives of significance, we will need to learn to trust God in areas where we have not trusted Him in the past. For David, his faith needed time to grow and progress. We might have thought of him as a man of great faith, for he was the only Israelite with a confidence to face Goliath. But as new challenges arose, which include the threat of the death from his own king, he found himself faltering. David learned what we all learn. We may be confident in God in one area of life, but hopelessly unbelieving in another area. And the hardships he was facing was exposing a great lack of confidence in God in a very particular area of his life. After four unsuccessful attempts on his life, David is on the run. He begins to panic, he makes mistakes, he sins, and he even humiliates himself. And today, as we continue our study in the life of David, we will see how, after David's sins and lack of trust in God, God does not throw him away or reject him. Instead, having exposed David's weaknesses, God intervenes to strengthen David's faith. And from his example, I hope to show how God strengthens our faith as well. I'm reading 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 14. And David remained in the strongholds in the wilderness, in the hill country of the wilderness of Ziph. And Saul sought him every day, but God did not give him into his hand. Now, here we notice several features. David is now constantly on the move. God has made it very clear that he is not to remain in the fortress of pagan kings, and so now we find David in the desert of Ziph, some 25 kilometers south of Bethlehem, and the strongholds the text speaks of are the easily defensible locations of topography right in that region. David deliberately chooses high ground, places where if he were attacked, he would have the advantage. He's always a brilliant tactician. And so he carefully chooses every hideout, every place where his men will spend the night, and every next location. But behind all this careful strategy is the steady hand of God. God has already decided that David will not fall into Saul's hand. God is acting to protect him, and David needs to trust God. And then something wonderful happens. 1 Samuel chapter 23, verses 15 to 18 says, David saw that Saul had come out to seek his life. David was in the wilderness of Ziph at Horish. Now, Horish, by the way, probably is a grove of trees where he could easily have hidden himself. And then the text goes on to say, and Jonathan, Saul's son, rose and went to David at Horish and strengthened his hand in God. And he said to him, do not fear, for the hand of Saul, my father, shall not find you. You shall be king over Israel, and I shall be next to you. Saul, my father, also knows this. And the two of them made a covenant before the Lord. David remained at Horish, and Jonathan went home. We're not told how it was that Jonathan found David. Saul was looking for him, and he had not found him, but perhaps it was God himself who had blinded Saul's eyes and had opened Jonathan's eyes to David's whereabouts. But however he managed it, Jonathan risks his life to find his old friend. Why? He wants to strengthen his hand in God. That means that Jonathan has no additional weapons for David, nor troops he can add to those David already has, nor does he have insider advice of Saul's strategy. He comes with only one purpose. He wants David to keep trusting in God, to be confident in his God, not to give way to fear, not to begin to doubt, but to face the future with the assurance that God is with him. And in that, Jonathan has three pieces of advice for David. Here's the first. Don't be afraid. God's promises don't fail. It's such an important word. Don't be afraid. You know, one of the greatest obstacles to faith is to allow fears and to allow an overripe imagination to visualize the worst possible scenario. Rather, what we should imagine is what God has promised us. Perhaps Jonathan reminded David of Moses' words in Deuteronomy 31, verse 6. Be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. But whatever Jonathan told David must have given him courage. Now here's the second piece of advice from Jonathan. You shall be king over Israel. You know, many a Bible teacher has noticed how Jonathan, who would have been thought of as the heir to the throne, never fights with David over the future of the throne of Israel. Why is that? Because Jonathan trusts God, and he knows that God has revealed to him that he, as the king's son, is not destined for the throne. Long ago, Jonathan stopped desiring that which God had never given him. But of course, Jonathan did more. He had watched David and had come to believe that David was God's chosen man. And so his word to David is simple: trust God's plan for your life. You know how precious those words must have been to David. How easy to doubt that which God had shown him. And by the way, to all of us who doubt that God has promised never to leave or forsake us, for all who doubt that God, who began a good work in us, will complete it. These are precious words. Trust God's plan for your life. And there's a third reason why Jonathan came to David. He wanted to be David's right-hand man, the man who stood next to the king. And in response, David makes a covenant with him that it will be so. The future king of Israel could not have had a better friend. Well, those of us who know the story will remember that tragically this was not to be. Jonathan would die alongside of his father in a horrible defeat at the hands of the Philistines. God, in infinite wisdom, had decided that at his timing, he would take Jonathan home in his presence. But even though the two men wanted this last thing, and God in wisdom had said no, Jonathan's trip to see his friend would be life-transforming for David. It would inspire him to trust in God where he had failed in the past. You know, there are times in our walk with God when all of us need someone to encourage us to just keep trusting. You know, in my own life, there have been moments of crisis and times when I have felt a burden more than I thought I could bear. In those times, I have rarely walked alone. God has provided someone to encourage me when I thought I simply couldn't go on. And in the end, the passage simply says, Jonathan went home. Mission accomplished. David was prepared to meet the new challenges now, not in reaction of fear or in dread, but in faith. And that's because in the very next verse, verse 19 says, Then the Ziphites went up to Saul at Gibeah, saying, Is not David hiding among us in the strongholds of Horish on the hill of Hakilah, which is south of Jeshimon? You know, from this verse, we see that Saul had intelligence-gathering networks that included people from various tribes. The Ziphites were from the tribe of Judah, David's tribe, a people who should have stood with David. Indeed, they were historically associated with Caleb at the time of Joshua, and Caleb was known as a mighty man of faith. But these men were not. They had turned against David and were virtually begging Saul to come. They even said it was all their heart's desire that Saul should come down to kill David. If you go to Psalm 54, you'll find David's reaction to this horrible betrayal by his own countrymen. Verses 1 to 3 of that psalm, David simply says, O God, save me by your name and vindicate me by your might. O God, hear my prayer, give ear to the words of my mouth. For strangers have risen up against me, ruthless men seek my life. They do not set God before themselves. But the rest of the psalm provides hope. David is now confident. God is my helper, he said. I will give thanks, he says. He has delivered me, he says. There's now a confidence in David. Jonathan's time with him had renewed him. David is ready to trust in God as he had in the day when Goliath stood before him. Now, how important this is for all of us. If you've failed and sinned and lost faith, it's not the end. Your failures don't have to define you from this day on. Allow a righteous believer to renew you, to encourage you afresh. You know, with renewed courage, David presses on. But now, because of the Ziphites, Saul is almost on top of David. Verses 26 and 27 say that Saul went on one side of the mountain and David and his men on the other side of the mountain. And David was hurrying to get away from Saul. And as Saul and his men were closing in on David and his men to capture them, a messenger came from Saul saying, "Hurry, come, for the Philistines have made a raid against the land." And just as it would seem that David is undone, Jonathan's words come true. "My father," he said, "will not find you." Indeed, God had intervened and by his providential hand has caused the Philistines to attack, and Saul had to break off pursuit of David. And when we come back, we will see that God will continue to protect David as he will continue to protect us, his people.
When we think of the person David, we are often reminded of the great faith that he possessed, but rarely do we get an insight into his very real and tangible failure to trust God at some of the most critical times. Dr. Neufeld reminds us that this is a common weakness that we all struggle with, but also that to be a man or woman of real faith means acknowledging our sins and relying on others to help see us through. Back to the Bible, leading people into a dynamic relationship with God. By now, many of you have probably heard or received our Bible teaching resource called Confident Living Magazine. This is sent once in 2 months. This magazine offers even more engaging Bible teaching articles from qualified Bible teachers and writers. It has articles that are relevant to life and exclusive updates on the ministry of Back to the Bible. The magazine addresses on difficult issues of life and your journey with God. If you have not asked for your copy of Confident Living Magazine, then don't delay. So be sure to ask for your personal copy. Call us at 9492-440070. Call us at 9492-440070. Or send your request by email info@backtothebible.in. Info@backtothebible.in.